This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, ilah al-alameen, wa bihi nasta'een, wa nusalli wa nusallimu ala khatam al-anbiya'i wa imam al-mursaleen, nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een. Allahumma la sahla illa ma ja'altahu sahla, wa anta taj'alu al-hazna idha shi'ta sahla, Rabbi yassir wa la tu'assir wa tammim bil khayr wa bika nasta'in. We thank Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal for having gathered us here today. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to surround us with the malaika and to cause His mercy and His sakinah to descend upon us and to raise us with the anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam and those whom He has mentioned with them. Ameen. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is lying in his bedding in Makkatul Mukarramah. He is comfortable and warm. And the angels come and wake him up, place him on an animal that is less, more than a donkey and less than a mule. And he is taken to Baytul Maqdis in Jerusalem. He reaches Baytul Maqdis where he meets all of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. And he leads them in prayer. So the journey of Mi'raj begins with prayer. And then Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is raised up to the first heaven where he meets his father Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. And Adam welcomes him to the first heaven with the words, Marhaban bin Nabi Salihi wal Ibn Salih. Welcome to the righteous Nabi and the righteous son. He then goes up to the second heaven where he meets Yusuf, where he meets Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. Isa as well says, Marhaban bin Nabi Salihi wal Akhi Salih. Welcome to the righteous Nabi and the righteous brother. He then goes up to the third heaven where he meets Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. Marhaban bin Nabi Salihi wal Akhi Salih. Goes up to the fourth heaven where he meets Idris alayhi salatu wassalam. Marhaban bin Nabi Salihi wal Akhi Salih. He's going up, he's elevating one heaven to the next. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes him to meet Harun alayhi salatu wassalam at the fifth heaven. Marhaban bin Nabi Salih wal Akhi Salih. He then goes up to meet Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. Marhaban bin Nabi Salihi wal Akhi Salih. And the last Nabi on the seventh heaven is Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. It is said that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam looked most like him. So he meets his lookalike here. And imagine the awe that he is in at this juncture. He's woken up in his bedding, warm, comfortable and cozy, and all of a sudden he's at the seventh heaven. Allahu Akbar. Imagine the emotions that are going through his heart at this juncture. He meets his lookalike and this gives him a bit of peace, a bit of comfort. Marhaban bin Nabi Salihi wal Ibn Salih. Welcome to the righteous Nabi and the righteous son. And then he goes up even further. And as he's passing, he hears Sarir al-Aqlam, the writing of the pens on the scrolls. You know, all of our good and bad deeds being written on the scrolls by the angels. And he goes beyond this point and he meets Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, his maker, our maker, the one who brought us into existence in the first place. And at this juncture, in this brilliance and illumination, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him as-salah. He gives him the gift of as-salah. You know, let's pause here for a moment and ponder. The commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came down one after the other as was suitable and needed and required. So He sent down the commandment of zakah, the commandment of hajj, the commandment of sawm, of fasting. But when it came to as-salah, He raised Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up to Him to give Him this. You know, when you have the president of the country or the prime minister sitting up at the top and just passing down commandment after commandment. Hey, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. These regulations are in place, those regulations are in place. This is something that is normal. But when you've got something special, you find that he brings the person that is accepting those commands or taking those, he brings him close and says, hey, listen, we've got to do X, Y, and Z. This is what he draws him close to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the highest of examples. Nobody is like him. But Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal draws Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam close to him here and gives him the gift of as-salah. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then comes down, and as he's on his way down, and by the way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed them 50 salawat in the day and the night. So he comes down to Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, and as he's passing Musa holds him and says, he says to him, what happened up there? Tell me what went on. And he says, look, I've been given 50 salawat in the day and the night. So Musa alayhi salatu wa salam looks at him and says, inna qawmaka la yutiqoon. Indeed, your people will not be able to do this. Irji' ila rabbika fas'alhu at-takhfif. Go back to your Lord and ask him for less. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes back up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he asks him for less. He says, look, I've come begging you for less. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him 10 less. He comes down to Musa alayhi salatu wa salam and he meets him. Hey, what happened? I've got 40 now. He says, no, it's not enough. Go back. Irji' ila rabbika fas'alhu at-takhfif. Go back to your Lord and ask him for less. It's not enough. They're not going to manage. I tried with Banu Israel. They didn't manage. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continues in this fashion, going up and coming down until there are only 5 salawat left. 5 salawat from 50. Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam still tells him, go back and ask your Lord for less, for indeed they will not manage. I tried with Banu Israel. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is bashful, he's shy at this moment and at this juncture. He says, I can't go back now. He started at 50, he's given me 5. Imagine you walk into a store and something's for $50 and you get it for 5 and you're still bargaining. Allahu Akbar. So here Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I guess there are some people that would do that, eh? I see a few smiles. Probably want it for free. Allahu Akbar. So, subhanallah. So he goes back to Allah. In fact, he comes down to the earth. And here, he comes to his people and prescribes these 5 salawat in the day and the night. And this is why we perform only 5 salawat in the day and the night. Yet we find ourselves less. We find ourselves in a position where we can't even perform those 5 salawat. If you perform those 5 salawat in the day and the night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you the reward of 50. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Kareem. He is Rahim. He is Ghafoor. He is Al-Jawad. He is the most generous. So when you give him something, he gives you back multifold. And this is why we find when it comes to sadaqah, when it comes to giving a charity, and you give something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gives you 700-fold or more than that. It's amazing. When you're dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're dealing with a unique being. A being that nobody can be like. So understand this. You see, as-salatu silah. And salah is the connection between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the manner that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went up for mi'raj, and he went up to his Lord, you have the opportunity 5 times a day to go up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to meet your maker, to see him in front of you, to converse with him, to beg him, to pour your heart out to him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, U'budullaha ka'annaka tarah. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as though you see Him. Imagine Him in front of you. Think that now that I'm saying Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest, everything has fallen behind and I've come surrendering my soul to the very Maker that created me. The one who fashioned me. The one who placed my nose where it is, my eyes where they are. My head on top of my body, the respiratory system, the reproductive system, all of the veins and heart and liver that I have are all functioning simultaneously, perfectly. This is the being that I'm standing before. I owe Him my life. I owe Him my everything. Let me talk to Him. And the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes to us, قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي نصفين. I've divided salah into two parts between me and my servant. فَإِذَا قَالَ الْعَبْدُ أَلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So when the servant says, praise be to the Lord of the worlds, praise be to the Lord of the worlds, قَالَ اللَّهُ حَمِدَنِي عَبْدِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my servant praised me. وَإِذَا قَالَ الْعَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. The all-merciful, the especially merciful, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَجَّدَنِي عَبْدِي وَأَثْنَى عَلَيَّ عَبْدِي. My servant has praised me in excess. So there's a conversation happening here between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when the servant says, مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ, owner of the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my servant has glorified me. So there's you actually conversing with your Maker when you say Allahu Akbar and you recite Al-Fatiha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is responding. Responding to who? Me, responding to the sinner that can't let go of all of these sins. We're engaged in disobeying Him. We disobey Him all the time. We defy Him. We go against Him all the time. But when you say Allahu Akbar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't turn away from you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues with you. In fact, He is happy that you've turned to Him. He is happy that you are actually conversing with Him. He wants to know you, yet you disobey Him out of your salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us. And we need to understand this. You see, we have intimate relationships with human beings. We converse with human beings. You know, sometimes you find a husband and a wife late at night. They're sitting or they're lying on their bed, pillows on, you know, heads on their pillows, looking at each other, talking to each other. Those conversations are some of the best. Those conversations are some of the best because you're calm. Everything's calm and peaceful. There's nobody there to disturb you, no distractions. You're talking to your partner intimately. Things that you would never usually say come out in these conversations. And we find ourselves building these relationships with human beings that ultimately are weak and one day will go back to their Lord, one day will leave you. You know, that relationship will either get stale and you'll get tired of it, or it will end with your death or her death. It will end at some point. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. Why don't you have a relationship with the one who is ever living, the one by whom everybody subsists and lives? Why don't you have a relationship with He whom it will never end with? Why don't you talk to Him? Why don't you pour your heart out to Him, converse with Him, beg of Him, ask Him? كان إذا حزبه أمر فزع إلى الصلاة. When something perturbed the messenger, he would rush to salah. That was his go-to place. That's where he felt comfortable. That's where he felt, I can get some peace and comfort. I can talk to my Lord about this. You know, how many times do we walk into the masjid really worried, concerned, anxious about something? And we perfect our wudu and go into our salah. And as you leave, you notice something. You were as heavy as you ever could be when you went into the masjid, but as you're leaving, you're as light as a feather. What happened? What happened? You conversed with your maker, and wallah, thumma wallah, I swear by Allah that whatever problem you were in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the doors. And if He doesn't open your doors, because it does happen sometimes that you continue in that problem, you will be able to face it in the correct way. You'll be able to live with that. You'll manage that problem well. Why? Because you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide me. I don't need to worry. Inna ma'iya rabbi sayahdeen. Musa alayhi salatu wa salam gets to the sea where there's nothing, nowhere to go. And he says, my Lord will guide me. My Lord will find a way out for me. Imagine being in front of the ocean. Ocean in front of you. You see the waves crashing. You really don't know what's going to happen. Your enemy, your arch enemy is coming behind you at speed. You can see him in the distance coming for you. And you say, indeed, my Lord is with me. He will guide me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala split the ocean for Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. Do you know why this was? Musa alayhi salatu wa salam elsewhere, when he was in no need or serious problem, he says, وَعَجِلْتُ إِلَيْكَ رَبِّ لِتَرْضَى. Oh Allah, I rushed to you. I left my people behind and I rushed to you so that you may be happy with me. You see, he knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ease, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew him in the hardship. تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة. Get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when things are easy for you. It's easy to forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when things are good. The money is flowing, the family is happy, everything's good and nice. It's easy to forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the minute that something happens, a calamity hits you, strikes you, oh, I need to turn to Allah, I need to ask Allah. But get to know Allah when things are good, and He will know you when things are hard for you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would perform salah in the most perfect manner. You see, Ibn Abbas rahimahullahu ta'ala explains to us, and he says that I was once with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the house of my aunt Maymuna, who was the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, I spent the night there. And what I observed is that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to sleep at the beginning part of the night. After the Isha Salah, he went to sleep. He slept on one side of the pillow and I slept on the other side of the pillow. And he says that around the middle part of the night, before it by a little or after it by a little, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gets up. And he stands up, rubs the sleep out of his eyes, and he picks up some water. You know, there was a vessel of water that was contained by some skin. He takes some water out of that. It's known as shan. Shan actually preserves the water, the coolness of the water. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam rubs the sleep out of his eyes, takes this cool water, makes wudu, and then he doesn't rush into his salah. He takes his time making his wudu, probably thinking of anything that's falling off him at the time, thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had no sins. So he was purified with this water. He's purified even further than he is, yet he is so pure, the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he recites the verses. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the changing of the night and the day are signs for those who have intellect. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala standing, sitting and lying down. وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. And they think in the creation of that which is in front of them. They think about that. And they say, oh my Lord, oh our Lord, you have not created this in vain. You see, these verses that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited brought him into that place he needed to be in. It brought his heart into the place that it needed to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Presence of mind, heart, soul and body with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knew that I'm going to meet my Maker now. And he would meet his Maker every day. Because he'd say, Allahu Akbar. And that's the only focus at that moment in his life. He would only think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before him. So there he was, and he reads or performs two raka'at, two raka'at, two raka'at, two units of prayer, two units of prayer, two units of prayer, until he performs 12, ends it off with one, and then that was the end of his prayer. Ibn Abbas rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says that when I stood next to him, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam got hold of my ear during the salah, and he massaged it a little. Imagine this. He's telling him, come, comforting him. Come, think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a reminder. He didn't talk to him in the prayer, but he massaged his ear a little. Imagine a young man standing there and his ear being massaged by khayru khalqillah, the best of creation. The best of creation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. Imagine the emotions that this instigated in his heart, how he felt close to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this intimate setting, close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was the salah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rabi'ah ibn Ka'b al-Aslami radiyallahu anhu was a companion of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who was really poor. And this companion would spend time in the masjid of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with those who are known as Ashabu Suffah, the people of the raised platform. Now the people on this platform were those who were poor. They didn't have a home to live in. They didn't have enough clothing to cover themselves at times. They didn't have enough food to eat. So they'd live in the masjid, and whatever came their way, they would be grateful for it. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would spend his night, and Rabi'ah would stand at the door and he'd wait for anything that the Messenger needed. He'd come to him with his vessel for water, do this for him and do that for him. Anything that the Messenger needed, he did for him. So one day, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam says to him, Sal, ya Rabi'ah, ask, what do you want? You've been serving me for so long, ask for something. Now, this is a poor companion of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Not enough clothing, not enough food, no housing. And he says to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, أَسْأَلُكَ مُرَافَقَتَكَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ, I ask you for your companionship in Jannah, Ya Rasul Allah, O Messenger of Allah. He could have asked him for a horse. He could have asked him for a house. He could have asked him for anything else. But he asks him for his companionship in Jannah. You see, these people knew what it was to be with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so they didn't want to be deprived of it regardless of their circumstance. It doesn't matter if I don't find clothing. I want to be with my beloved. And he didn't want to be separated from him. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam gives him the formula of success. He says, فَأَعِنِّي عَلَىٰ نَفْسِكَ بِكَثْرَةِ السُّجُودِ, so help me with yourself by performing many prostrations. Perform many raka'at of salah, units of prayer. Place your head on the ground many times in your life. And you will find my companionship in Jannah. You see, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him the answer. And the answer was the salah that we're talking about today. If you want to be the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Jannah, then perform your salah in the manner that he performed it. Make many prostrations in your life. Take out time at the end of the night. 10 minutes to perform that prostration before Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Pour your heart out to Him, talk to Him, glorify Him, praise Him, think of Him in all of His magnanimity and grandeur. And this will earn you the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the companions, Abdullah ibn Zubayr, if I remember correctly, says that رَأَيْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُصَلِّي وَهُوَ فِي صَدْرِهِ أَزِيرٌ كَأَزِيرِ الرَّحَى. I saw the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم praying, and he had a sound emanating from within. This was the sound of a grinding mill as it went around. You know, when you pour some grains into it and you hear the grinding mill go around, that noise was coming from the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was him sorrowful. This was him tearful. This was him thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, an interesting thing is that Aisha radiallahu anha would observe him. And he'd be trembling, his heart would actually be trembling before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his eyes tearing, and his beard would become wet with his tears. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was already guaranteed Jannah, but you find he would perform salah hatta idhan tafakhat qadamah, until his two feet swelled up. They became swollen with that standing before his maker. Why would he do this? Aisha radiallahu anha asks him, and she says, you've been forgiven all of your sins. Why would you do this? أَفَلَا أَكُونَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a grateful slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In today's times, we find ourselves on our phones going through TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, and the various social media apps out there, looking at different pictures, you know, pictures of men, women, people in between, all sorts of things going through our minds, people jumping, dancing, and reel after reel. You find our, you know, we're going through it hours on end. And let's not lie to ourselves. We really do spend hours on end on our phones. We really do spend hours on end going through reel after reel. And why is it known as reels? Because your mind is reeling in that. Your mind is literally, you know, churning all of those thoughts. The last thing that we do at night, it's all of that going through our mind. And we sleep with those thoughts in our mind. And then, after looking at all of this content, that is probably not even Islamic, you now go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when there's 5 minutes left for the prayer and you can't wait any longer. You bang out your salah, not thinking of Him at all, quickly go through it, and then you're back to your phone. Was your heart with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or was it with Beyonce and Eminem? You know, honestly, really, what were you thinking of through your prayer? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prepared by rubbing the sleep out of his eyes, washing himself with cold water and thinking of the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thinking of the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thinking of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're going through TikTok? Do you really think that that's going to help your salah? Do you really feel that that's going to give you concentration, presence of heart and mind with Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal? Take time out to do one prayer. One prayer in the correct manner every day. Just one. Start with the Fajr Salah, because it's the toughest. Fight yourself. Tell yourself, I'm going to do this for Allah. I'm going to wake up and I'm going to perform Tahajjud 10 minutes before the time for dawn sets in. And do it. Prepare yourself for meeting your maker. And it's the easiest time to leave your phone on one side. Go to the bathroom without. Start with that. Go to the bathroom without this device in your hand. How many of us sit, you know, excuse my language, but on the toilet, hours on end and ha, ha, ha. What are you doing, man? Is that really your life? Is that really what you want to do? You can't leave it when you go to relieve yourself? Is the toilet a place to spend 20 minutes, half an hour, 45 minutes in? May Allah forgive us. May Allah forgive us, really. And then from this, we then rush into our wudu and rush into our prayer. Rush through the prayer so that we can get back to our friends and social media and WhatsApp and all of this. Really, this is not going to help our salah. When you want to pray, then be disciplined. Tell yourself, in the next 20 minutes, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to start the rituals of prayer before prayer. So I'll start remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي And establish the salah for my remembrance. How are you going to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you are doing all of this before your salah? Set aside your phone 20 minutes before. Think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Glorify Him, praise Him. Make your wudu deliberately, thinking of the sins that are falling off each arm and face and body, you know, the different parts of your body. Think of these sins falling off you. And then go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then say Allahu Akbar. That's when you really mean Allah is the greatest, because you've left everything behind. TikTok doesn't matter right now. Why? Because my Lord matters. I want to meet Him. I want to converse with Him. I want to talk to Him. I need His guidance. Who will I be without Him? You understand your position as a servant before the Maker who created you. This is the manner in which to perform your salah. You see, there are certain things that can really help you in your prayer. If you perform your salah on time, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا Indeed, salah has been prescribed at specific times. So if you perform your salah as soon as the muadhin goes, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, he calls out to Allah, the greatest, Allah, the greatest. You turn off everything, you leave it behind, you make your wudu and you perform your salah at that time. It doesn't matter who you're with, what you're doing, it's now time for my maker. You can wait. So you put everything aside and you go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the easiest time to perform your salah. As opposed to sitting on your phone and saying 5 more minutes, 1 more reel, 30 more seconds. It's okay, just this last one, I don't know whether I'll see it again. Once it's gone, it's gone. Those 5 minutes will make it harder for you to perform the prayer. Why? Because it never ends at 5. It continues another 5 and another 10 and another 20 until there's only 5 minutes left for prayer. So perform your salah first and then go back to what you were doing. And what's amazing is that إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ Salah will stop you from evil and immorality. And really, let's ask ourselves, what are we doing on our phones? Is it not immorality? Are we not going through, wow, he's so sexy and she's so sexy? And let's be honest with ourselves. You know, I'm being a bit blunt here, I know. But really, that's what we do. You know, wow, look at those abs. Wow, look at those calves. Huh? Look at her thighs and look at this and that. Really, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ Salah prevents you from evil and immorality. It will stop you from all of that. You won't want to do it. Why? Because it will take my khushu out of my salah. I can't compromise my meeting with my maker. I need to meet him whilst I love him, whilst I'm doing what he wants me to do and keeping away from what he wants me to keep away from. I really don't want to miss that and compromise my salah. I'd rather give up everything else. You know? So you find that all of a sudden your feet becomes a bit more pure. And you're seeing things that really benefit you in your afterlife. And that really benefit you in this world. You know, if we are to quantify, and I keep talking about social media because I think it's very, very, very important. I think it's pertinent to your salah being perfected before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the ailment of our times. You know, if you are to quantify the time that you spend on social media, let's say you give that a value in money, you know, financial terms. Let's say you say that my time's worth $50 an hour or $100 an hour. And then you ask yourself that how long do I spend on social media every day? Go onto the app and look at the app that tells you how many hours you spend on the top three apps or the top four apps. Quantify that into money and ask yourself how much money you've lost until today just aimlessly going through people's videos and reels and so on and so forth. Would you give that up for money? Yes, you would give up the useless reels that you're going through for money, so why not give it up for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why not give it up for money? It's better. Go and earn that money. It's better for you. Do something productive with your life. Don't keep watching somebody else's life, not benefiting from it at all. Create your own reels in reality, you know, with your life. Play it out before you. Do something. Be excited to wake up in the morning. Be excited to go out and do something for yourself. Productive. Earn something. This is really is the ailment of our times, and I tell you to leave it, but I can't leave it myself. How am I going to tell you to leave it? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. You know, it's difficult when I say I can't leave it myself. I hope and I pray that my feed is better than yours. You know? But it is an addiction. Even if you are going through Islamic content, really, is it that beneficial? I think it's better to go on to longer clips and watch something that you'll take away and implement in your life. So, this really is the ailment of our times. We can, you know, limit it to a point where it will benefit us. When it comes to your salah, spend time before your salah and beautify yourself, purify yourself, put some perfume on. Take a musalla, take a sajjada in one corner of the home, place it there and ensure that it will remain there. Or it will remain folded up in that corner. Whenever you want to pray, that will be your go-to place. That is where you'll go and think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's where you'll find peace and comfort. When you do this, you find it becomes easier to pray and it becomes easier to concentrate in your salah. Because you've got a place where you go and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's every time you see that place, it reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make your salah short. It's okay. Start with a short salah, but make it deliberate. Make it powerful. Think, even if you make one tasbih in your ruku', Subhana Rabbiyal Azeem. Make it like that. Give your prayer quality over quantity. Don't spend longer time where you turn your heart away and you're thinking about everything else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Spend just 4 minutes in 4 raka'at of salah. It's okay. The shortness of it doesn't matter. أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلَّ. The most beloved actions of Bani Adam, the sons of Adam, to God Himself, are those which are short, even so long as they are constant. They are less, but they are constant. It doesn't matter if they are less, but make it every day. Make it a habit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that. So spend a shorter time in your salah, but make it quality time with your maker. And you'll find naturally you'll want to spend longer and longer with your maker. Why? Because there's a sweetness in that salah. You know, sometimes you ask for goodness. You ask for a car or a house or a spouse or whatever it is that your heart desires. And you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day in, day out. You keep asking Him again and again, I want this, oh Allah, I really want it. Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Ghafoor. Ask Him with His beautiful names. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't give it to you. And you start wondering when's the response going to come. But in that process, you've began to find sweetness in your prayer. You feel like, I love this time with my Maker. I want to be there. I want to go and meet Him. I want to talk to Him. And that prayer becomes more sweet to you than the thing that you were asking for in the first place. So it doesn't matter any longer whether He gives it to you or not. You keep asking Him because you really just want to connect with Him. As-salatu sila. Salah is the connection between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's your meeting place with your Maker. When you go to your salah, one last reminder before we end off this talk, inshaAllah. When you go to your salah, think of this as being your last prayer. Salli salata muwaddi'in. Pray as though this is your last prayer. After this, you're going to go into your grave and you're going to meet your maker. Do you think that this would be a prayer in which you would rush through it? Or would it be a prayer in which your heart would tremble and your eyes would tear and your hairs would stand on end? Why? Because you now know that this is my last prayer. I'm now going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after this. There really is no more opportunity to worship Him. So if you pray in this manner, pray from your grave. Think of yourself in your grave. Think of the akhirah, the afterlife. This is my last prayer. This is my last prayer. I'm never going to get an opportunity again to perform salah. You'll pray in a different manner. And you know what? If you pray this way, then one day that prayer will really be your last. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to worship Him in the manner that He wants us to worship Him. And may He make our salah a nur and a light for us in our graves and on the day of Qiyamah. Ameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.